Good morning, Saints.
Good morning.
I'm honored to be here this morning. It's a lovely day in our new sanctuary. Let's give Jesus Christ a great hand clap for this new sanctuary. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And now we're coming from here. Then we're going to the California Theater. We'll seat 2,000. Praise God. And I'm just honored that God chose me. God says some beautiful things to me this morning, and I want to share them with you. I knew that Jesus told me, because the devil ain't going to tell me something that this good. Amen. The devil don't tell you nothing good, praise God. He tell you how to condemn you, but Jesus always tell you something good. Make you feel good, make you feel like you somebody. Amen. So thank God that Jesus is going to make us feel like we somebody this morning. Father, as we bow our heads this morning in the presence of the Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you in the sanctuary. Open up every heart and mind and soul and ears this morning. Father, you gave us two ears and one mouth. Let us be slow to speak, but quick to listen. Lord, let us get a revelation of how to be quick to listen with our spirit man. Not with our flesh, but with our spirit man, because our flesh is rebellious. But our spirit man has been born again and has been given the capability to comprehend the width, height, and depth and the knowledge of the Son of God. The Bible said the love that passeth knowledge. So let the Holy Spirit and our inner man, the hidden man of the heart, begin to minister together and begin to comprehend what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we thank you. We adore you this morning. And you back at television. You by television, we will be back on television July the 1st. We thank God we've just moved into our new sanctuary. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to prepare new saints around the world to come and be officers and ministers and elders of women and elders of men in this sanctuary, so we can build this great army that you have caused us to do. This is an apostles' ministry. Father God, the name of this church, as the bishop was saying, is Resurrection Tabernacle Family Church. And we thank you, Lord, that this is a family church, Lord God. And we minister this morning to the family, to the broken family, to the family that is astray, to the family that's divided. We pray that we would come into the unity of the faith. We use the law and the principles of the unity of the faith. Holy Spirit, quicken that to our ears, that we will come together in the unity of the faith. And Father, that we would not get offended anymore, that we would stop getting jealous and offended, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, let's give him a hand clap. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am so thankful and so honored that you came this morning to hear from Jesus, not to hear from Brother Brian, but to hear from Jesus. We will be coming this morning again from the book of Acts. This will be an 8-tape series called, this particular tape here is tape number 5. This is called The Authority of the Believer. The Authority of the Believer. And it's tape number 5. And the series is tape 40,000. And this is tape number 5. Now we're going to talk about some intricate principles of the authority of the believer. Now number one, we want to talk about the woman. The bride. Ladies and gentlemen, the woman represents the body of Christ. She is the bride. When I was born again, my sister was born again. We were both born again in apostolic ministries where they teach women to dress holy. They teach the young men and the young women how to have respect for the pastor, for the apostle. They didn't call the pastor and the apostle and the elder women by their first name. They said, Miss Renee. Can I get a witness? Miss Gina. When I was raised as a young boy, my mama used to teach me how to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Some of you guys wasn't taught that. Now we have a church in this hour. The Bible says they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. Now, what kind of power am I talking about? I'm talking about the authority of the believer. Anytime you want to have power in the name of Jesus, you must understand the capability and the levels of authority. Even in the Godhead, there are levels of authority in the angels. There are levels of authority in the God. There's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they are one. The Holy Ghost don't get in an argument with the Father. Jesus don't get in an argument with the Holy Ghost. They are one. Say they are one. Ladies and gentlemen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are trying to bring us into agreement, into one. So when you're thinking something, good or bad, if you're hurting, if you want to rejoice, I'm thinking the same thought. I can discern by the Spirit, man, what you are thinking. So the Bible said if the leg hurts, the whole body will hurt. We should be sensitive enough to be able to discern when somebody's coming in and they're struggling with something in their body. You are not a fleshly being anymore. You are a spirit being. You are a man of, and a woman of God. You are not a regular person anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem. God began to deal with me this morning, and he said some significant things to me. I was telling somebody, I said, you need a slip on, like on my daughter, you know. So I'm not some crazy person that always wants to see women dressing long dresses like this. This is where I was trained. Say, I was trained. If you go in front of the DMV officer, who's training you before you get your DMV license? Do you go in front of the DMV officer and say, I'm gonna drive the way I want to drive? Shut up. In fact, get out of the car and I'm just going to have me a good time. Do you tell the DMV officer that? What will the DMV officer do to you? What? Now, come on, what's the first thing he does? What does he do with the contract that he gives back to the DMV about your testing scores? What does he do? He fails you. That's what the Holy Spirit told me this morning. Number one, I am an apostle made by God, not by man. God made me this way, not man. Now, God put something in you. Maybe I can't see it. But that don't mean you're not going to be who God made you to be. I don't care if everybody makes fun of you, talks about you. That does not mean that you will not rise to the top. And everybody just sitting back there looking, saying, whoa. How did they get there? And this is why a lot of people surpass other people. Because I'm home reading the Bible 10, 20 hours a day, and you at home watching TV, smoking cigarettes, having a little drink at the bar. And then you're going out in little huddles and little lunches with your little friends talking about the pastor. God is listening to what you're saying. And I'm going to tell you another thing. As I was praying this morning, God began to put figures of people's faces before me. And he began to help me understand us as a body, because we're a body. If you go out and murder somebody, or if I go out and murder somebody, we all will get blamed for it, amen? Because we all going to the same church. Amen? Go out and steal something, go rob somebody. You know, ain't that guy to go to JCN? So even if I go out and do something bad, y'all will, ain't that your pastor? Right? So we all one body in here. You could be Mexican, you could be white, you could be black. We all one, because we all in the same congregation. In fact, whatever you do, the devil goes to Jesus and says, ain't I one of your sheep? And Jesus says, yep, that's mine. They're just babies. But God began to show me something this morning. He said, now, we were babies, but now we got to go to the adults. We must mature. We got to start listening to the pastor. You got to start praying for me. Because the devil's attacking me so that I come out here and I can't tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying. See, let me tell you the keys of the devil. Number one, the devil doesn't have no new tricks. The devil's job is to get other people to vex the pastor. And listen to me very carefully, ladies. For women to vex their husbands. You wonder why men watch sports all the time? Because the wife doesn't worship her husband. You remember how we were worshiping Jesus? That's the way the wife should worship her husband. The Bible says it. The Bible says the man is the head of the house. Now, in some women's mind right now, they're saying, now, why would I worship my husband? Because the Bible says he's made in the image of God. Now I'm going to tell you what happens when you begin to worship him. When you begin to tell him, I love you. You're my everything. Thank you for being the provider of the family. What happens? Something opens up in him when he begins to worship you. You see, the husband should also worship the wife. You are one. The husband should tell the wife, you represent the bride. You represent the body of Christ. You see, there's something about a holy woman. There's something about a woman that you can take and have 100 men, and she could be right here, and they can have night church, and everybody could be in here praying. But a holy woman, no one will ever lust after her. Because she personifies, she's giving off holiness. You see, whatever's inside of you is exactly what people are seeing. Whatever you imagine about yourself is what everybody's paying attention to, what everybody's really seeing in you. It's not what you say out your mouth. It's what you meditate on. If you spend time in the world, the Lord began to show me this. He said, Brian, we are dealing with an age in this last 6 months. Let's go back over the last 6 months. One little girl got robbed right out of her bedroom in Utah. Three little babies in the last 90 days in San Diego have been killed brutally by somebody. One of them was raped and killed. Danielle, watch. Then a little black boy, the father just left him in the park. Now, why would a father just leave their child in the park? Watch. Next thing, a Mexican lady just went crazy and broke the neck of her five-year-old son. Why would a woman go crazy and break the neck of a beautiful child? We are dealing in this hour with demons, not with people. But most people think, oh, look what that lady did. And then we all want to throw a rock at her because she killed her son, right? Or we want to throw a rock at the guy who molested the little eight-year-old girl. But we don't talk about the parents who was having four or five or six or seven unmarital sexual relationships in the house where the little baby was sleeping in the room. Nobody wants to talk about that. All we want to do is cry and hug, but we don't want to examine our house. Now watch this. The priest, the Catholic Church, has never came under the persecution because of perversion like never before. They've been raping and molesting kids for 40 years, and they have never been called to the table about it. You know why? Because judgment is coming to America because of perversion. Now, why do you think the Muslims are under so much attack? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something to you. It's going to blow your mind, but I got to say it to you. Do you know it says in the Bible for women to cover their hair, to cover your head? Now, Renee and I was having fun because we were watching BET, and this guy was having funny jokes. He came in there and was showing all these women with crazy hairstyles. You know how the old Baptist women, they put them hats on their head? Mother so-and-so, I mean, them heads be looking like baseball helmets. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about a woman that knows how to worship her God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you a secret. You know what makes a man holy? His wife. But what we have now, we look at the TV and we say, and we look at our wife and we say, we want you to be like Mary Bell. Mary Bell's a hoe. We know she a hoe. Amen. Amen. Let's tell it like it is. Why do people sugarcoat things? I used to pimp hoes. Now a hoe know she gonna go inside the house and somebody, she don't care if you marry. She after you. A hoe want to take your money and she want to take you from your wife. Did you know that? Come on, brother. Am I right? Amen. Now, do you know there's whores in the church? There are Christian women, watch, and there are Christian men, sister, that say they are Christians, but they want to sleep with you, and they want to break you from the church. That's called wolves, say wolves, in sheep clothing. Amen. They will sleep with this woman. There are pastors that will sleep with this woman and have no intention of marrying this woman. she'll think, oh, what a wonderful pastor. Oh, what a wonderful Christian. But inside, see, we have preached to the people's flesh, but we have never preached to their spirit. We have never told them you have to live from the spirit out, not the flesh in. Your spirit got to be changed in order for your flesh to change. No, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. You wonder why people keep smoking cigarettes. They can't stop. Because every morning they wake up and they see themselves in the mirror, and they look in that mirror and they see themselves smoking cigarettes. The image of the cigarettes is the real them. If you have a problem with porno or rap music, that's because you have an image of porno. If you have a problem with lusting after other women and you married, or lusting after other men and you married, it's because you have an image to do it. There are people that are married and they're not happy with their spouse, and they're waiting for the opportunity to do something wrong. Say, do something wrong. There are little girls and little boys, because they've been raised by the television. Say, raised by the television. And all they know is the television. So when they wake up in the morning, the image of those television programs are controlling them, and that's why they can't wait to mess up on their mother and their father. A person doesn't just wake up a homosexual or a lesbian. You just don't wake up like that. You don't wake up a child molester or a rapist. You don't just walk outside the church door and say, I'm gonna go rape 5 white girls. Do you hear me? You've been watching something. You just didn't wake up in La Jolla or La Mesa and say, I'm gonna dress like a woman and you a man. You've been watching something. I want y'all to say amen. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm sick. You've been hearing everybody else say that. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. You've been hearing everybody else say that. That's why everybody in America say, when you ain't got no money, I'm broke. Now, you know, when you say you broke, you're saying your spirit is broke. Never say you broke. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you know what? Whatever you say produces images. I don't care how you feel, how you look, don't talk about it. In fact, stay away from people that put you down too. The grievous thing that I've been dealing with is people, and the Lord began to show me people. Instead of me getting angry at Gloria because she don't like washing dishes, I say, Lord, show me Gloria's spirit. To show me why Gloria don't like to wash dishes. Gloria like to wash dishes. She's a good girl. I'm just giving an example. So this morning I was praying, and God began to show me into people's spirit. He began to show me the images that control their character, which causes them to make decisions and causes them to act the way they act. And God began to show me and say, Brian, first, before I reveal the people to you, I got to tell you something. So I'm sitting there in the bathroom, and I'm just thinking because I'm angry about something. And the Lord quietly spoke this to me. He said, number one, Brian, you have the greatest job that people pray to have. Like, a lot of people go to college, to Bible college, but they're not a pastor. A real pastor, I remember Gina was telling me, never gives up. Now, many pastors will give up because of financial pressure, because of people ain't listening. Because you know most sheep is dumb, right? We all dumb and ignorant, correct? Say, and I get an amen. Because you know we all, you know, we ain't all just perfect, right? We perfect in Christ, but there's a war going on with our flesh and our spirit. And God began to say something to me. He said, Brian, you have the most important job in the universe. I said, what is that? He didn't tell me. He just kept saying that. So he must have told me 10 or 20 times. He said, Brian, you have the most important job in the universe. I said, what is that, Lord? What did he say? Getting people in heaven. And immediately I was caught up in heaven, and I began to see people. coming into the kingdom. And they were shaking my hand. They said, praise God, you helped me get into heaven. But see, now, you know, the way we treat people now, we don't really see the effect or the result of our lifestyle. But in heaven, when you die on judgment day, you're going to see who you led into the kingdom, not to Jesus. Because there's a kingdom up there. And Jesus is just the light of the kingdom. But there's a place called the Book of Life. And God opened the Book of Life to me, and I began to see people's names in the Book of Life. He said, this morning when you go to church, I want you to look at some people, and I want you to talk to them about the Book of Life. See, many people want the power of the Holy Ghost. Many people want the prosperity of God. But their names are not in the Book of Life. And they're dying and going to hell right in the church. The Bible said they're sensual without the Spirit. For 7 days, I was fasting and praying. I couldn't eat. Look how big this suit. I'm losing weight, y'all. I'm cutting the fat. The fat must be cut at the top. God began to show me. He said, Brian, that person, their name is not in the book. They love me, but they haven't been born again. That's why they always get offended. They'll lie, they'll steal, they'll manipulate, and they're conniving, and they're all backstabbers, and they're waiting for the opportunity to rip you off. It's not them, it's the spirit of the devil in them. If your husband goes out in adultery, or your wife goes out in adultery, it's not them. It's a spell. It's called a sensual spell. Now, they have entertained this thought. And then the Bible said they were drawn away by their own lust. Say, drawn away by their own lust. The Bible said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and it is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Your flesh is of this world. Your flesh is not getting into heaven. Say, my flesh ain't going to heaven. Now listen to me very soon. Listen carefully with your ear. Put your ear like that. Go there. Do this with your ear. Go like that. Do your ear like that. Come on, put the camera on him. Now that's right. I like the way he's doing it. Do it like this. I want you to remember you got two ears. Go like that. Do like that. Come on, Bernadette. Do like that. Bernadette, put the camera on Bernadette. Do like. Come on. Alex, you're cheating. Come on, y'all. Do it like this. Do it like that. I like the way the boy in the red did it. Stand up. I got to thank you to him right now. Come on, stand up, boy. Stand up. You were joking, but I knew you knew it. That's right. Now go like that. Now I'm trying to show you, you got two ears. You got two ears. Say two ears. So you should be listening more than you should be speaking. But most people talk more than they listen. Am I right, sister? Okay, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we all were born sensual. We want to be sexy. We want to be nice looking. We want to be attractive. Everybody want to be attractive. You don't want to be 500 pounds. You know, can't even get in the chair. We're like, move the chair. Right? Because when you're 500 pounds, you stink a little bit too because you can't wipe your butt. You can't, you know. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be slim and attractive. Am I right? Now, am I real this morning? Do y'all want me to come and talk to y'all about something that really don't exist? Now, I'm breaking it down. Say, break it down, sister. Break it down, break it down, break it down. God showed me, Paul said. Now, I need somebody. Stand up, brother. Come here. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to show you what Paul said. Now, come here. Stand here. Paul said, after I preach, I beat my body up. Yes. Watch this. Least after I preach, I become a castaway. Because after you preach, after you come to church, your body still knows it's living and operating on earth. And your body is trying to survive in this earth. Now, it wants to shut the spirit down. Say, shut the spirit down. Now, give him a great hand clap, y'all. Your spirit man is controlled by your ears, not by your flesh. So when I tell you, Marcus, I want you to dress in a suit and tie, he may say, well, I don't have it. And I could say, well, go to the thrift store. I want you to dress this way. This is the way the apostles dress. You're being groomed for an apostle. This is what you're supposed to do. Ray, you're supposed to dress in shirt and tie. You're not supposed to come in here like a GQ magazine. You're supposed to dress in shirt and tie. You're being groomed for an apostle. Ray, Brian grew out of his suit. The boy got so fat, he didn't fit him no more. He's an expensive child. The suit now fits Abraham only 3 months later. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I looked at him the other day. I said, man, you getting big. Well, I'm going to have to teach that boy to work. Pretty soon, he's going to be trying to beat me up if I don't teach him the word, right? We must understand that our ears are not being used like they should be used. Now, when you became born again, your ears became more important than your mouth. In the world, your mouth is what everybody listens to. If I tell you something, if I want to make an agreement with you, I want you to buy something from me, I'm going to talk you into it. I'm going to sell you. But in Christianity, you're supposed to be able to test the Spirit by the Spirit. Haha, watch this. Break it down, Holy Ghost. But if you're sensual, having not the Spirit, how are you going to test the Spirit in somebody else? You can't. That's what's wrong with Catholics. You know why Catholic priests want to molest little kids? It's not their fault. It's the fault of the bishop not teaching them how to have the Holy Ghost. You know how a young man controls his sexual desire? Every young man has it. Either you're going to be a homosexual or you're going to want to marry a woman. It's that simple. A young woman has it. Either she's going to be a lesbian or she's going to want to be married to a man and bear children and submit to her husband. Say submit to her husband. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands in all things unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that he may present it a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. So God began to show me. I said, wow, how can I do that? He said, you got to get an inner image. Say, get an inner image. Now I'm going to read something to you. In the book of Acts chapter 13, we're coming again. This is series number 40,000. These floors are slippery. Praise God. Tape number 5, the authority of the believer. In the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 5. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the way God wrote the Bible. Say, God wrote the Bible. The white man did not write the Bible. That's what the Muslims teach you. That way they ain't got to obey Jesus because they say he's a white man. So if you don't get rid of that white man image that the white man wrote the Bible, you'll never operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. You will still be sensual, having not the Spirit. The Bible said, I travail in birth till Christ be formed in me. You have to form this thing like you build a house. Or there'll be something that'll keep sabotaging you. It'll be the lust of the eye, it'll be the pride of life, or it'll be the lust of the flesh. These three desires are laws that's in our flesh. This is what controls our appetite. But we're only supposed to use them and the desires with our wife and our husband. We ain't supposed to use them on little kids, dogs, chickens, cows. Uh-oh. Alex looking at me like, uh-oh. Verse 5. I want to start at verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said. Now, who said? Now, was they talking or who is it? Somebody else came on the scene. Now, how the Holy Ghost going to come unless we worship him like Renee was trying to teach us and bring him into the room? Do you know the Holy Ghost can get so real and tangible that you can touch him? I'm serious. This ain't flat. This ain't sensual, having not the Spirit. This is the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. Here goes Peter in jail. The Bible said they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not supposed to go out and do something unless the elders, the apostles, the bishops send you out to do it. But we got a central, having not the spirit, character in this hour that wants to do anything. They want to dress the way they want to dress. I can come in here in a t-shirt. I like wearing a t-shirt. In fact, I like wearing jogging pants. And I got all the new Jordan shoes too. Right? And we'll just have a good old time up in here. But does it go back to the priesthood where they used to go inside the tabernacle, and if they had luck in them, they'd fall dead? How many people in this room want me to fall dead? Now, I'm going to tell you what happens to sheep who don't have the Holy Ghost. They backslide. Because they're central, having not the Spirit. Unless you have the Holy Ghost, you're going to backslide. And you must, listen, you must, that's like not making love to you. How many people, how many wives in this room don't want the husband to kiss them? You know, husbands walk in the door. Hi, honey. Where the food? You're like, what's wrong, honey? I don't know. Boss don't like me. Sit down, honey. Let me massage you. No. Can I have a kiss? No, no. His mind is so caught up into work, he ain't even paying attention to his wife. He's bringing work home to his wife. The wife, when the husband comes home, is supposed to comfort him so that he is surrounded by love. But if she's worried, uh-oh, we can't pay the bills. Honey getting ready to lose his job. And if she don't know faith, if she ain't a praying woman, she'll be full of worry. So the husband come home full of worry because he getting ready to lose his job, and they start fighting. Central, having not the... The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. I command that spirit to come out of you in the name of Jesus. This is an ugly spirit. It don't have faith. You see, when faith is on the scene, faith will move mountains. If he comes in like that, she'll be like, in the name of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. He'll be like, whoa, what's that? You see, because she done spent hours on her knees seeking the face of God, and the Holy Ghost is in that house. So when he come in the house, he come in the house not in a central, having not the spirit house. He's coming in the house with an arresting Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is, uh-oh, he bowing, uh-oh. He's referencing the presence of the Holy Ghost. This is why there's divorce all around the world. Because there's no Holy Ghost in the house. See, the Holy Ghost is fire. It's warm. You walk in the whole house when the Holy Ghost is there, and the Holy Ghost will just give you peace. It'll take away the worry. It'll take away the fear. You see, when folks are praying and seeking the mind of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost, and they're coming in unity and oneness with the Holy Ghost, there's an arresting atmosphere. You can't think the way you want to think. You can't act the way you want to act. You can't do what you want to do. You got to obey the Holy Ghost. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what's going to happen in this church. It's going to happen. Because I'm going to pray it in here. Watch this. Go to verse 9. Acts 13, 9. Then Saul, who is called Paul... Now here goes a guy who was a murderer, who was killing Christians, that all the Christians were scared of him, until the Christians began to pray and cry out to God. And then when Paul was going to kill some Christians, God knocked him off his horse, blinded him for 3 days, and then somebody had to go pray that his eyes was open. Now watch. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Watch this. And said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Anytime you're full of the devil, you got perversion in you. That's where perversion comes from. And the Bible said we're all drawn away by the lust of the flesh. What does the word lust mean? I looked it up. It means perversion. The word perversion is not a bad word. Let me break it down to you. You know what the word perversion means? It means doing your own way. doing it the world's way. We can cut the TV on and we can see the way the world does it. We're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are pilgrims passing through. So we got to come back to the apostles' doctrine. Now, it's going to be hard. Your flesh is going to fight you. Remember, I stood him up and I said, Paul said, I beat my flesh up. What does he mean by it? You have to talk to your flesh. Flesh, you're not going to lust. Flesh, you're going to wait on God for the right wife and the right husband. Now, another thing, if you want a wife or a husband, you better write it down what God said a right wife and a right husband is, because the devil will send you a counterfeit. The devil is a master of counterfeits. And believe me, I can look right through them, Sister Diana. Now, when I'm a man and I'm telling you to put a slip on, I'm a pastor. What's my job? What did I tell you my job was? No, I didn't say that. How many of y'all was paying attention, writing down what I said? What is my job? Nope, that's not what I said. That's what I said, but that's not all I said. What was the most important thing I said? Your name got to be written in the book of life. That's why the Bible said many are going to come in the last day and say, didn't I know you, Jesus? He's going to say, I never knew you, though. Why? Your name wasn't in the book. Do you know that God can even blot your name out? It says it in the book. Many people say, I'm a Christian. No, you, huh? How many souls you done saved? How much of an example are you living before God? Are you fighting yourself so you can be holy? Or are you just letting yourself do anything? Believe me, we all gonna be tested, even me. Everybody in this room gonna be tested. What you really made of. Don't feel condemned. Just say, Lord, change this character with a righteous, godly image. That's the only way you can do it. And it's through fasting and praying. Go back with me to chapter 12, verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, and praying was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Did it say they took a vacation? Did they say they went to work? No, they went to the dance hall. They went to the bar and had a couple drinks. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. They want some pornos. They went to watch 92.5. They went to listen to some country western music. They went to listen to some reggae or some Mexican music. They went to watch RoboCop. Pastor, apostle up there in the prison because of the devil. Who put Peter in jail? Come on, y'all. Don't look at me like you lost your dog. Who put Peter in jail? The devil. Now, I'm going to blow your mind. Go with me to Acts 13. Verse 50. Now listen to this. We all got the same Bible. Hi, Abraham. Verse 49. Let's go 1349. Acts 1349. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. What were they? Devout and honorable. They went to school, got a master's in politics, nursing, law, religion. They were honorable. Watch what these people did. And the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. That means they threw them out of the city. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you went to Dallas in a big convention, and 10,000 souls were there to see you and my sister, and they came with guns and said, get out of the city. How many of you would have not got offended? How are they going to throw me out of Dallas? How dare them? But here, these people had joy. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now go with me to chapter 14, Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. Now, who did he hear? Hear me. Who did he hear? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to hear me. Hopefully, I would say this humbly, hopefully when I and Pastor Chuma come into the pulpit, it is the Holy Ghost speaking, not us. That we have sought the Lord so that God will minister to you with the word. Now, very important for you to go before God in prayer and see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And see the importance of keeping it there. Your character, your lifestyle is what keeps the name written in the Book of Life. You cannot keep disobeying the pastor and the apostle and of the elder women getting, and you women getting jealous of other women. Maybe got somebody got a better position. Now what's that? We got that right in the church house. And don't let nobody come in here looking good, dressing nice. Some of y'all women be, look at sister so-and-so. She thinks she look better than us. We got to get rid of the jealousy. Jealousy is not, the Bible said jealousy is cruel as the grave. How the Holy Ghost going to come in here and we got jealousy and perversion in our heart? He can't do it. He said, okay, pastor, first let them know how important it is for them to clean their lives up so then I can visit them. I remember mama used to tell me, she said, Brian, have you done so and so and so? I told you. She wouldn't visit me until I obeyed. You see? Obedience. Now, mama taught you to clean your dress code, clean your house, but you just like a sloppy pig. Mama coming over. What mama gonna say when mama come in that house all dirty and filthy? You know some of y'all mama ain't coming over your house. House all dirty and stanky. Now, you know mama didn't train you like that. Some of y'all eating food. Y'all know mama didn't train y'all. That mama trained y'all to come to dinner at 5, 6 o'clock, eat a decent meal, but y'all running through Jack in the Box, and you wonder why you got stomach problem. Am I right? Well, you say I'm poor. You can go down to Ralph's and buy you a little bit of chicken, a little bit of rice, a couple dollars, and have a decent meal and live long instead of having cholesterol problems. I was telling this person something. I said, put a slip on. And she looked at me. You know what she said to me? She said, shut your eyes. And I went in the bathroom and I cried. I said, Lord, do you hear this woman, what she said? And you know what God said to me? He said, she don't respect you. Now here I am, a pastor, telling you to dress holy. Now, if I wanted to lust after you, would I tell you to dress holy? I just let you just dress sexy, right? Am I right or wrong? So why would I tell you to do something right? And you know what the Lord began to tell me? Sensual, having not the spirit. You see, God has whooped me, literally whooped me for 20 years about being holy. Now, I'm not going to tell you I haven't made mistakes. But I tell you what, if God didn't whoop me, I would have made a lot more. I bet you I've been whooped more than any of y'all in this room. And I'm telling you, if I wasn't whooped by God, I would have made a lot more mistakes than I've made. Amen. And God wouldn't, you know how many people tried to get this church? 20 churches. But God gave it to me. Why do you think God gave me this church? Because I'm going to tell you what the book says. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You have to see me as an apostle. If you don't know what an apostle is, you need to ask God. The apostle is the highest. It's like a priest. The Lord showed me this because I was in the bathroom and I'm weeping. I'm saying, Lord, why don't people understand what an apostle is? What did Mary say when she saw Jesus? She said, Rabboni. Why didn't she say, hey, what's up, Jesus? Hola, ¿cómo está? What's up, homeboy? Where you been? How come she didn't say that? Hey, my nigga, what's up? Let's go kick it in the bar. What's up, my nigga? Where you been? She said, Rabboni. Then Jesus told all the disciples, he said, tarry until the Holy Ghost come on you. And God began to show me why this morning. He said, because a lot of those 120 people didn't like each other. I see it in my office. I have to literally separate people because they fight and argue. And these are Christians, been Christians 10, 20 years. Church members. Wonder why the church ain't growing. Oh, it grew several times. But when you start telling folks, you have to love your neighbor. Folks don't want to hear that. There are people in big churches, but the pastor let them just come any kind of way. But Jesus didn't do that. What did Peter say? Jesus said, throw your net down. Peter said, I've been toiling all night. I'm tired. He said, but at your word, I threw it down. He threw it down. The Bible said he caught more fish, and he went down on his knees, and he said, the Lord. He was humble. See, a lot of y'all ain't humbled yet. Because you still operating in unbelief. You still see me. You better stop seeing me. 20 years ago, I was taking needles and shooting them in my arm, wanting to kill myself. I was strung out on heroin and dope. And the power of God touched me. He said, no, you mine. That's my sister. Nobody wanted to be around me. I was robbing my family. I wasn't just robbing regular folks. I robbed my mama. Now I'm helping people get off drugs. I'm getting people off heroin and prostitution and out of jail, keeping them out of jail. That's what I've been doing for 20 years because the hand of the Lord touched me like this. I had needle marks so bad on my arm and I was in the basement. I said, Lord, I won't preach. I can't let people see this. I was ashamed. And the Lord one night, in Jesus' name, touched me and gave me new skin on my body. I had holes in my arms like this big. I used to shoot so much drugs in my arms because the demon was trying to kill me. I was possessed by demons until this pastor casted them out. That's my sister. Nobody wanted to be around me. I was getting everybody high on drugs. You see, many of you are doing things, but you don't know God. God has a purpose for your life. Now, if you've been living like a devil, when the hand of God does touch you, a lot of people won't believe it. You know why a lot of people won't believe it? Because number one, they've never experienced God themselves. It's not that they don't want God to use you or they're jealous. It's because they've never had a move of God in their life. You see, I've had many moves of God. I remember this lady was dead. I preached in this one church. I fasted over 21 days, and I was preaching at this church in Washington. And I'm up on the pulpit. I didn't even know how much power that was in me. And I had fasted so long, I preached about the devil falling from heaven like lightning. And it was so powerful, people were literally jumping. I saw one lady, I know it's hard to believe, jump 21 feet to the altar. She jumped. I didn't have to say, come to the altar for prayer. She leaped out of the pew 21 feet. It was like they were bunny rabbits. There was one, pew, give me this Holy Ghost. So I know how to get you the Holy Ghost. And I'm on my way there too, buddy. That's where I'm on my way. And this lady was in the house that night. My body was tired because I hadn't fasted like that so long. And she was on the couch like this. You could hear her in the other room. And she was going, she had so, her bronchitis was so bad. And they brought her in the other room and she fell out. The paramedics, she had no breath. She died. And I'm sitting there praying because I never did this before. See, some of us, we're in training camp. We're in boot camp. The lady was dead right there. You can meet the pastor up in Washington. He'll tell you the lady died. She died. She was dead. And I'm sitting there casting the devil out of her. And the Lord said, shut up, Brian, and go in the other room. So I went in the other room. And the Lord said, pray. So I began to pray. Okay, Lord. I began to pray in the spirit. I began to pray. And the word of the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's a spirit of bronchitis. Cast it out of her and call the spirit back in her. Do you know apostles have the power to call the spirit back in you? I know it's hard to believe. Y'all are going to be like, oh, what is he talking about? And I went over to the lady in front of her, 20 people. I said, move out of the way. I said, spirit of bronchitis, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And then I said, spirit of living God, go back into her body. And the woman started crying, got up and walked away. She got up and walked away. She was dead. But if I wouldn't went in the other room and began to pray and get silent, you see, so many of us got so much things in our head, we can't get silent before God. Some of us are right on the brink of killing ourselves or killing somebody or just giving up because we can't get silent with God. We got so many problems. The kids is running crazy. The husband is on drugs. The son and daughters are homosexuals. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an hour for psychologists or psychiatrists. This is not an hour for philosophy. This is an hour for the power of the Holy Ghost to come on the men of God and the women of God. Thank you, Jesus. This is not an hour for that. I was ashamed. I said, Lord, I said, I can't go up there. We ain't got no mic. Lord said, your mouth is big enough. And the room echoes, Judy. You can hear me good back there, right? Big as my mouth is, right? But see, that shame. Some of us got shame. We figure, oh, they're going to laugh at us. We ain't got no mic. They're going to laugh at us. We went off TV. I don't care if they laugh at me. I'll be back on. Because my faith going to put me back there. Not your money. See, today I want to take another offering. Some of y'all didn't give this morning. Amen. And I'm going to begin to decree that whoever gives, because I'm a giver, I'm not a stingy person. And the Lord showed me in prayer this morning, I have to decree. We got to start decreeing, and you got to start doing it. You got to begin to decree that I'm going to be blessed, and I'm going to decree you're going to be blessed. We got to come in covenant this morning. How many people really believe in covenant? How many people believe in marriage in this room? Family. We are a family here. I'm not just saying that. I've tried to show some of you that I believe in family. I believe in covenant. And I always like to say that I'm not totally there yet, but I believe we're going there. I believe we're going there. But I believe you need to stand up right now. There's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. The Bible said, pay your vows unto the Most High, and call upon God in the day of trouble, and he will hear you. Now, God is not a lazy God. God ain't sit up there playing golf. God don't watch TV. God don't have a wife. So all God does is wait for you to talk to him and to clean your life up. Now, you're going to have to start speaking to this body. This body is not going to heaven. Say it to me. This body's not going to heaven. There's another person inside of you called the spirit man, the hidden man of the heart, and he is controlled by your ears, not your eyes. Listen to me. The new person inside of you is controlled by your ears. That's why the Bible said, test the spirit. How are you going to test the spirit if you can't see? Now, if you're mature enough, you can see people and you can look right through them. That's another level. First, deal with the level of hearing. Hearing. Put your hands on your ears. Lord, open my ears. Help me to hear from the Spirit of God. Blood of Jesus, cover my ears. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Any unclean spirits, come out of me in Jesus' name. I curse any unclean image. Blood of Jesus, the word of God says, demons, go. and you cannot return. I decree you will not be able to return. Because the blood of Jesus is covering my head and my heart. Now, I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me. Really look at me. And I want you to look at my face. Look at me, and I want to tell you something. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have power that you have never used. Now, when you have problems, you're not going to want to decree. Your flesh wants to complain when you're overwhelmed with problems. Because you cannot see the light.